We thank you for the opportunity to gather together to worship you this morning. Lord, be in every part of this service, and we'll give you all the praise. And all God's people said, amen. Are you ready to sing this morning? Amen. Amen.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
Yeah.
God in prayer. And have we trials and temptations? And is there trouble anywhere? Oh, but we should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And who we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share. And Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. I'm thankful that we can take everything to the Lord in prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. Boy, it's good to see your smiling faces today. God bless all of you. I'm so glad that you're here, and welcome back to some of our friends that are back today. Glad to have you home. Man, this is going to be a great day. I feel it. I hope you do too. And I just want to remind you of something that I say once in a while. When you come through those doors, most everybody here has some kind of a sack that's called a burden sack. Got some kind of trauma, some kind of dilemma, some kind of a stress factor that's going on. But I want to encourage you, and I want you to learn to leave the burden at the door. You know, just see it there, or else if you want to, just see yourself putting it at the foot of the cross of Jesus and drop it down and say, for the next hour, my thoughts, my focus, my intention, my heartbeat is going to be for Jesus. It's all about Him. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to exalt His name. That's how we get through it. That's how we get through it. He's the one. You know, we sang one of the verses. It says, do we have trials and temptations? And then the next line said, who cares? People don't care, do they? You know, you ever been somewhere and you're complaining about something and somebody does this? The world's smallest violin playing My Heart Bleeds for You. Like, it's a mockery, right? People don't care like they should in this world. But I can tell you today with all my heart, and I know it, that Jesus loves us so much, and He cares about everything that's going on. So bring that burden. It's good to bring it to church, but then lay it down, give it to God. Would you join me? Let's pray and bless the service today and ask God to just minister to all of our hearts. Father, thank You so much for bringing us together. Lord, the Bible tells us that we are to come together and not do like some do and avoid getting together. But Lord, when we come together, I think of that verse in the Bible that says if there's just two, but there's a multitude here today, but if just two, and we would agree on touching a subject, a matter, in faith and praying that it shall be done. And so, Father, today with this multitude, with this gathering, this group that's here, we pray that You would express our faith, increase our faith today. Let our eyes be upon Jesus today, and let us remember that You gave Your life and You died and You rose again and You conquered everything that we have to fight against, and You're the great victor and You present to us the victory. So, Father, today bless Your people, anoint Your people, empower us as we sing and as we worship and as we bring glory and honor to Your name. Let this day be a day that transforms our hearts and our lives, and we will be careful, Lord, to give You all the praise, all the glory and honor in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I don't know today, looking around, if we have anyone that's with us for the very first time. If you are here today and it's your first time, you're a new friend. Not just a guest at Nettles Island, but a new friend. We have a little booklet. It's the Bible Promise book. It looks just like the one I'm holding in my hand. It's at the back table in the back right corner. After the service today, I'll be back there. And I want to meet you and I want to shake your hand and welcome you personally. Get to know your name, and I want to present you with one of these little gift books. So if this is your first time today, come and join me for just a minute. Just take a second. And I'd love to just welcome you to Nettles. And feel free to come back. We'd love to have you back with us today. that's really it as far as all that. There are some announcements in the bulletin. Just look those over, and there's some paperwork on the back table that goes with that. But God bless all of you today. God bless you today. Just enjoy the presence of the Lord. Amen. Let's just continue to worship together.
Amen. Are you thankful for all the blessings the Lord has given you?
Amen.
Amen. I wanted to share a little funny story. So this song we're singing, one of the verses says, I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. This is a brand new shirt, though, so I'm thankful. My mother-in-law got this for me. So I can't sing that verse. Jess is going to have to sing it. But I'm sure thankful for all his blessings on me. Amen. And listen to these words and praise him as we sing this song.
While the world looks upon me as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart, I'm rejoicing. How I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Wealthy, these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you, and to me, that's all that matters. Though the world they may not see, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on.
There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Sing this chorus with us, we know it. Oh, there's a roof up above me, and I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He sure is good to us, isn't he?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. We're going to sing a few more worship choruses this morning. Just sing and worship the Lord as we sing. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord knows how. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you.
beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. And what could separate us now? And what a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. And what a wonderful name it is. And nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. And death could not hold you, the veil torn before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, and you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above. Powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Powerful name. The great name.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. There's just something about that name. Fragrance after the rain. They will all pass away, but there's something about that bloom. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord,
hallelujah. We're going to pray this morning. I want you to take your bulletin if you have it. Just look at the list that we have in front of us. And we're remembering today that Jan Pennington and her family is just, about 2 weeks ago or so, Jan's sister, Lee Kelly, went home to be with the Lord. I was sharing with Jan this past week, and what a woman Lee was. The last week of her life, the last few days of her life in the hospital, she was a woman that loved God. She chased after God's heart. And she led a number of people to Jesus in the hospital as she was getting ready to go home to heaven. You see, she knew her purpose and her mission. And her mission wasn't like, oh no, I'm going to die. What's poor me? Her mission was, God, use me. Use me. In every situation, God will use us. You know, she closed her eyes and she opened them back up in just an instant. But she wasn't in that hospital bed when she opened them. She was standing at the gate of heaven. The Lord Jesus was standing there in His glory and His splendor and His white robe and His brilliance. Opened His arms and He said, Lee, come on in. And He said, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. And one day there are going to be people that will be in heaven and they'll look for Lee and they'll say, Lee, you led me to Jesus just before you checked out and went home. And I'm here because of you. It's always a mixed feeling when Christians go home. We're happy. We're thrilled. We're thankful. We're grateful because they're home. But for those of us that remain, there's the grief. And that's why we want to remember Jan today and this week in our prayers. This isn't on the bulletin, but a friend of Elsie's, a very good friend of Elsie's, and kind of a new friend of mine that I met when Elsie and I would go motorcycle riding. His name is John. John was riding his motorcycle in Montana. Deer came out in front of him and struck the deer with the front tire of the motorcycle and caused him to veer off the road, and he went down a 30-foot trench and landed down in a gully and broke all kinds of vertebrae, and his lungs were punctured, and he had 7 ribs that were broken. He's a Christian. He loves God, serves God with all of his heart. He lives in North Carolina. His name is John, and I want us to remember him today. How about you this morning? How many of you lift a hand and say, hey, I'm one of those people that brought the burden in. I laid it down, But I just want to give it to God today. Let's see. Sure. Sure. Amen. Can we do something? Can we together just pull our faith and trust the Lord today? The Bible says this. If you and I have faith the size of a mustard seed. Years ago when I was a little boy, my mama had this little necklace. And it was this little like circle of glass. And inside was this tiny little seed, almost so small, hard to see. It was a mustard seed. Did you ever see one of those? They're little. They're so tiny. Jesus says, if you have just that much faith, you can speak to the mountain and you can move the mountain out of your life. It takes faith. Got to have faith. God sees our tears. He's moved with compassion when we hurt. But what moves His hand to do the work and make the answer come is not our tears. It's our faith. It's our faith. So let's join our faith together as we pray for needs today. All these hands that went up and the needs on our list today. Join me and just release faith today. Just say, Lord, I'm giving my faith out. I'm just releasing my faith. I believe, Lord, nothing is too hard for you to do. Just say that in your heart as we go to prayer today. God, I trust you. Nothing too hard for you to do. Nothing. Nothing. Amen. Pray with me this morning. Lord, we are thankful. We're thankful for the name of Jesus. We're thankful for the love of Jesus. We're thankful for the grace that is extended to us every day in our lives. Lord, you're a great God. There's none like you. And Lord, you're a compassionate God, and you care about everything that we go through. And Lord, there's not one thing that's ever wasted on us, not one trial, not one issue, not one pain, not one difficulty, not one hassle that's ever wasted. For in the kingdom world, and that's the world we live in by faith in Christ, everything has a purpose to bring us closer to you. And Lord, I have people here today that, Lord, they raise their hands, they're going through the valley, they're struggling, maybe the darkness has come in and the sunlight is not there. And God, they're just dealing with those issues and circumstances, sicknesses maybe, whatever it might be. God, today we just put our faith in you. God, and we come to you, even if it's just a mustard seed size, we come and we release our faith as a congregation. Father, heal the sick. Raise up those that are discouraged today. Provide financially for those that need provision, God, that need to have the food on their table, the shoes on their feet, the clothing on their back, and the roof over their head. Provide today. Father, we thank you for Lee Kelly today. We thank you for such a great woman, a great example of living the life that you've called us to live and caring about the things of God and advancing the kingdom even in the last days of her life. God, thank you that she's home today. Thank you, Lord, that she's rejoicing. Lord, that she's in the very presence of the Lord, the physical presence. Be with Jan today and comfort and encourage your heart. Lord, we lift up John today, our friend John, my friend John, that, Lord, was in this motorcycle accident. He's in his later 70s, Lord, so, Lord, healing comes slower in those cases. But, Lord, I pray that the healing power of Jesus would flow into his body today. Lord, that you would begin to mend and do work in his body that is beyond the scope of the physicians. God, that will amaze them today at how quickly he begins to mend and heal. Touch him. Take his pain. Lord, just thank you for sparing his life. God, be with our people today. Be with those that are listed in this bulletin. I lay my hand upon it today. Lord, I cover every name, every person. God, minister to them. Do a mighty work. Father, we just ask that you would be glorified in everything that we say, everything we do, and how we pray, how we think, how we live. God, we give you our lives. Use them for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about some of that this morning. If you have your Bibles, would you take them to Ephesians chapter 6? And we're going to look together at the Word of God. And the title of this series is Battle Ready. And this morning and next week and maybe the week after, we're going to talk about our tailor-made armor, putting on the armor of God and how that works, enabling us to live in victory and to walk the walk that Christ has asked us to walk and how we can defeat the devil. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 through 16, it says this. I want you to follow along here, or if you have your Bibles, you can follow and mark if you mark your Bibles. But Paul is writing to the church, just like we're a church today. He's writing to a group of people. If he was here in this world today, he might be writing to the church of Nettles Island instead of the church of Ephesus. But this was the church, the body of Christ in the city of Ephesus. And Paul is talking to them about how to defeat the enemy and how to live in victory. And I want that for us. I believe that we're living in a day when things are getting worse and worse and worse. But that doesn't mean they have to get worse for us in our spiritual life and our spiritual walk. We can walk in victory. So Paul tells us about the armor and he says, therefore, put on the full armor, not part of it. Don't go out with just the shoes or just the helmet, but put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and trust me, folks, the day of evil is coming and you've experienced it already. That's when the enemy attacks you. That's when he comes against you. When the day of evil comes, you may then be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I'll stop right there this morning. We're going to look at the first two this morning, but I want you to think about something. Let's say that we had awakened this morning to the news headline that read that America is at war. I mean, we're so close, we know that if you watch the news now, but America's at war. What if when we woke up, the news of war had broken out that between America and China, or maybe America and Russia, or maybe America and Iran? Every military base would be scrambling. They'd be on the highest alert. All of our jets would be scrambling. All of our Navy ships would be motoring up and getting ready to do what they need to do to defend this nation. The reality of war would have everybody's attention. That's all they'd be talking about. And what I want us to understand this morning is that you and I, as Christian believers, we are at war. We have battles to fight. And we think that somebody else will fight them or that Jesus will just take care of it while we go eat some cake somewhere and drink a cup of coffee somewhere and take a life of ease. We're highly mistaken. And seriously, the enemy will always eat our lunch. And we'll wonder why we never have the victory. We're in a war. We're in battles on a regular basis. It's a war that's more deadly than any war that we've ever known or we've ever lived our lives through. It's a war that is for eternal souls of men and women. And Satan knows that his time is short. He knows that Jesus is coming, that trumpet is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and those who are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and then forever will be with the Lord. And he knows, because his time is short, that he needs to take as many people down the dark road as he can. So there's a war for the souls of men and women. He may not be able to get you. He knows that you're blood-bought. He knows that Jesus died for you and you've confessed your sins and you become a born-again believer. He can't have you, but he can harass you. He can raise havoc. He can keep you from doing the purpose and the mission and the call that God's put on your life by just overwhelming you in the battle and keeping you in a state of mental fatigue and defeat. So we've got to be battle-ready. We've got to be prepared this morning to defeat the enemy in this spiritual battle so that we can always win. Now, in the two previous messages, as we've been in this series, we've dealt with Ephesians chapter 6, and we said this in verse 10. We said, finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord. Paul's encouraging you and I today to be strong in Jesus Christ. not to be a weak Christian, not to be a nominal Christian, not to be a fair weather Sunday morning only Christian, but to live the Christian life, to be strong in the Lord and in His power and in His might. And then he tells us to put on the whole armor of God so that we can be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We've talked about how we're not wrestling and fighting against each other. Your enemy's not your neighbor. It's not me as your pastor ever. It's not your spouse. It's not your kids. It's not the parent. It's your enemy is the devil who works through people and tries to get us off kilter. And we have to realize that. And the Bible says that. We don't wrestle. And that word wrestle means hand-to-hand physical combat. That doesn't mean sharpshooters or snipers shooting from a mile away. That means that we're out of ammo and we've taken the bayonet and now it's a knife in our hand and we are fighting hand to hand. That's the word that's understood to be for wrestling against the not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, according to verse 11 there, we need to be able to stand against the wiles. We don't say that. That's not a word we use in our vernacular today. I haven't heard anybody in my whole lifetime go, watch out for the wiles. So let's identify what that is we've got to understand so we can stand against the wiles of the devil. That word is, wiles is, in its original language, is methodia. Methodia is the word. And we get our English word method from it. So in the context of what Paul is saying is he says that we have to stand against the methods, the strategies, the tricks to deceive us that the devil's going to throw out. In Revelation chapter 12 verse 9, the Bible calls him Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He is thrown down to the earth and his angels were thrown down with him. He's on the earth and he's deceiving mankind. 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So he's a deceiver, and he deceives by disguising himself. The Bible goes on to say in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit expressly says in the latter times, that's the days, our times, right before the Lord comes back, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to, listen, deceitful or deceiving spirits and teachings of demons. That's out there. Our culture is giving us everything. They're so anti-Bible. They're so anti what the book says is truth and right. We're going to get into that in a minute. But that's what's going on. And there are people that will be deceived. There will be those that sit in church, not true with all your heart believers, but there'll be churchgoer people who will be deceived by deceitful spirits that will be teaching them demonic doctrine, things that are against the Word of God. The devil did that with Eve in the Garden of Eden. God spoke to Adam and Eve, and he said, you can eat of everything in this garden. Everything is good for you. It's all good except for this one tree, this one thing, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve, don't touch it. Don't eat the fruit of it, because when you do, you'll die. And what happened next? The deceiver comes along, right? The devil, the deceiver. We read he was thrown out of heaven with his angels to the earth. And he comes along and he says, oh, come on, Eve. Look at that tree. Wow, how beautiful is that? And she looks over and she goes, yeah, it's kind of nice. Well, that's really pretty. That might be the prettiest tree in the garden, Eve. What? Look at that. Oh, my goodness. Did you see how luscious the fruit looks? You should have some. Well, no, God said we can't go. Oh, did God really say that you will do? And there came the deception. Twisting the Scripture, changing the Word of God to modify the cultural need of the moment. Guys, we're going to be Bible people in our church. What the Bible says is what we're going to preach, what we're going to hear, what we're going to live, what we're going to do, what we're going to follow. We're going to follow the Word of God. I don't care that the culture will change. It changes every 5 or 10 years anyway. And if we follow that, we're going to end up in a ditch. But there will be those that are not sold out to Jesus that will somehow get caught up in the deception in the culture of this world, the deceiving spirits and the doctrines of the devils, the demons. John chapter 8, verse 44 says, for he, talking about the devil, is a liar, a deceiver, right? And the father of lies. But I'm so thankful today that Jesus countered all of those things, and he said in John 10:10 that the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I've come to bring you the victory over it all. And so no matter what the devil entices us with, what his intention is toward you, each of us have to know that today with Christ, holding on to Christ, we will walk in the victory. Now, each of us has different trials and different temptations and that we have to battle against. There are different struggles. We don't all struggle against the same thing. We don't all have the same temptations. We don't all have the same desires and things that are anti-God. They're all different. We're all made up differently. And so they're all different struggles that attempt to pull us away from a close walk with God and to drag us into a sinful behavior and sinful actions. I want you to think about what's been Satan's long-term strategy against you. What's your, they call it a besetting sin. What's that greatest temptation? I want you just to think about that for a minute. What has the devil tried to use to sabotage God's plans and God's purposes in your life? You see, we face a real enemy every day, one that we cannot see, but who is very real and who is out to cause our destruction. But remember, greater is he that is in you. Paul cautioned the Corinthians to not let Satan get an advantage over them, and he added, "For we are not ignorant of his devices or his evil purposes." We can't be ignorant of the devil. I'm not here to magnify him or glorify him. The only person we'll ever lift up in this pulpit is the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to know who the enemy is so that we and know how he works. And that's where the last couple of weeks, so we can know what we need to do. And today is about what we need to do. God's provided all that we need through several things. And one of those things is putting on the armor of God, the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to talk about two of those this morning as we prepare for battle by putting on, number one, the belt of truth. Now, when Paul's talking about the armor, he's thinking about a Roman soldier back in those days. You know, the big metal breastplate, the armor that they would wear, the helmet, the shoes, the all the different things. And so as we talk about this belt of truth, the Roman soldier's primary clothing when he was walking around just in life, not in battle, but walking around, would be like this square piece of cloth with a head hole cut out and armholes. He'd slip it over and it'd be like a tunic. And he'd walk around with that tunic. And when he was preparing to get ready to go out to battle, he had the tunic on. And that was his outer garment. And it was, like I said, a square piece of material with a place for head and arms. But when he was ready to go to war and get into combat, that tunic, he couldn't just go with that tunic because it was big and it was flowing and it was awkward and, you know, it was comfortable when he wasn't in battle. And so he would then take this leather belt and he would put this belt around himself and he would belt up and he would cinch it in tight. And that's what Paul's talking about. First of all, put on the belt of truth. So we're talking about truth, what truth is this morning. Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 12. He said, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps be burning." Let your waist be girded. Get that belt on. And the belt is the belt of truth. And what he's talking about is as we're preparing for the coming of the Lord, for that sound of the trumpet when the rapture happens, have your lamps burning. Remember the story of the five wise and the five foolish virgins and the lamps went out? That's what he's referring to. And so be girded up. Be ready for battle. And have your light ready to go. Have your light on and be waiting for the Lord to return for us. It conveys a readiness and a discipline. So it's the belt of truth. And so we're to clothe ourselves with the truth if we're going to stand against the trials and the temptations that the devil brings. We've got to live in truth. We've got to walk in truth. John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus' prayer for all who would follow him is this: "Make them holy," Jesus said, "by what?" By your truth. Teach them your word, the Bible, the Word of God. The Word of God, he says, is truth. This is absolute truth. From Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 19, whatever that last verse is in there, whether it's verse 19 or 20 or 21, whatever it is, it's the truth. You can't read this and go, "Well, I don't like what this says. I don't think I agree with this." You can do that, but you'll falter. When God says something is wrong, it's wrong. When God says something is right, it's right. This word has not changed one bit from the time that it came forth. So we have to understand the truth. And so Jesus says, make them holy by your truth. And we get the truth right from the Word of God. Satan's methods are always lies and deception. He can't even really do much without speaking in lies. He's the antithesis or the opposite of God. He counters God with his nature. His nature, if God is love, the devil is hate. If God is good, the devil is bad. Whatever you say about God, you can look at the opposite of that and see that that's what the devil is and how he is. And the Bible says in John 8:44 that he's a liar and the father of lies. He can't help but tell lies. But the truth is always what God says about a matter. God's word, as I said, is unchanging and solid, and he has the final word, and it's the revealed truth to us in the scripture. Now, if we believe the deception, if we believe the lie like Eve did, like I mentioned, then we become vulnerable to the devil's attacks and he wins in the battle. So the first thing we must understand about winning our battles is that we've got to be operating from a platform of truth, the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, you'll know the truth and the truth makes you free. Pastor Tony Evans says that this way. He says, truth does not make you free. Huh? Well, didn't Jesus say you'll know the truth? Truth will make you free? Tony says, and I agree with him, he says, the truth does not make you free. It is the truth that you know that makes you free. Now let me reread the verse. You shall know the truth, Jesus said. Know it, and the truth then shall make you free. If I don't know what's in this book, if I only dust it off once in a while when the kids are coming over and it's Thanksgiving and we're going to read a passage of Scripture, it's Christmas, we're going to read a Christmas story, so I kind of find it and dust it off, and I don't know what's in here, then I don't know the truth. It's the truth that we know. It's the truth that we can apply in the situation that's going to set us free. If you don't know that by His stripes you were healed at Calvary, you're never going to really believe for healing. You're just going to accept everything that comes your way. Well, Pastor, every time that I get sick, does God heal everybody? No, sometimes not. But I could tell you, and I don't have the time today, but buy me a cup of coffee sometime and we'll talk about our lives. And I'll tell you the time after time after time after time where we didn't have the abilities and the means to go to doctors and things were bad. And we began to pray and seek God. As a little boy, I learned this from my family. And we sought out God and we called on God and cried out and said, by your stripes, Jesus, heal. And the miracles happened and the healings happened because that's the truth. But the devil wants to say, ah, come on, that's old school. That only happened when the apostles were alive. They all died off and all that with them. I'm glad I don't believe that way. I'm glad I don't believe that I serve a weaker God than they served. I'm glad that I believe that the God I serve is the same yesterday, today, and will be forever. Amen? And so that's really what we have to understand. It's not the truth that sets me free. It's the truth that I know that sets me free. And that's why we have to discipline ourselves, church. And we have to be students of the Word. We've got to be believers who operate in God's power. And we'll do that by wearing out our Bibles. If you want to be a powerful Christian, if you want the devil to look your way and go, I don't know about him. I don't know about her. Man, they give me a black eye every time I come in to fight with them. I end up getting scraped up and they smile. If you want that kind of power in your life, then you've got to know what's in the book. You've got to wear it out. Believers that operate in the power of God, they know what's in their Bible and it fills their hearts with the truth of God's Word. I read a story as I was preparing this message. Back during World War II, there was a Japanese soldier named Oneida. He was assigned. He was like one of those, he was like their version of like the Green Beret at the time. And so it was a special forces team. And Oneida and his team were assigned to a small island in the Philippines. And they were told by the premier that they were to defend that island against the invading Americans. So they were dropped off. They parachuted in and they were there and they were defending their island. When the war ended, leaflets by the Americans were dropped over the island informing Oneida and his three companions that the war was over. But Oneida and his companions, they dismissed the leaflets as American propaganda. So they remained hidden in the wilderness among stinging ants and poisonous snakes and living on a diet of bananas and coconuts. They were convinced that the enemy was trying to starve them out. 29 and a half, almost 30 years, this man lived as a prisoner of his own making in those horrible conditions. And it was not until 1974 that a Japanese explorer on that little island found him and convinced Oneida that the war was over. In truth, World War II was over in 1945, but because Oneida didn't know the truth, he suffered needlessly for almost 30 years. It's not the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that we know that sets us free. It's the truth, it's that truth that you operate in that enables you to win in the spiritual battle. So number one, we got to get ourselves girded up with truth. We got to wake up in the morning and go, God, I want to walk in truth today. Got to get into the Word of God and say, teach me your Word. Let me understand your principles and your precepts, and let me live my life according to your will and your way. The second piece that we want to talk about this morning is the breastplate of righteousness. Now, there's a twofold application. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit comes in and He cleanses you, you become perfect and righteous in the eyes of God. You put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, you and I know we can be stinkers sometimes. We're not always righteous, are we? We're not always holy, are we? We're not always just thinking godly good thoughts, are we? Not any of us in this room. The Bible says there's none that are righteous, no, not one. And yet we see here we're to put on the breastplate, the armor that goes on, boom, of righteousness. And so I want you to understand something this morning. We're not going to be perfect until we close our eyes and open them in heaven, or that trumpet sounds and we're all going up in the big party together to meet the Lord in the air. And our bodies are changed and we can't even fall into temptation anymore. So we have this positional righteousness that comes when we become saved. That's how come God can bring us into heaven, because we're made righteous, we're made holy at that moment. But we're not living that way always. And what this is talking about is putting on that armor, living the righteousness, living it out, becoming more and more like Him. And so we want to do that, and we want to become more and more like Him. And we want our lives to be that we act righteous, we act holy, that our words mimic the words of Christ, and we act like He wants us to do. Now, when sometimes, and I want to back up for a second because I think this is funny. I thought of this last night. We're positionally righteous. We mess up. And what do? Just like Adam and Eve in the garden. I've done it. I try not to do it. Sometimes, occasionally, I'll still do it. If I mess up and I sin, what God wants me to do is just stop right there and acknowledge it and say, please forgive me and thank you for forgiving me. I confess this sin. The Bible says, if I confess my sin, He is faithful and He's just or righteous enough that He will forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of it. But what do? Oh, man, I don't believe I said that. I don't believe I acted that. I don't believe that my anger got there. Well, God's not happy with me, so we go hide under a rock somewhere for the next 3 days. That's us doing, whipping our own backs with our, beating ourselves with a cat of nine tails. And then we have a little help because the stinking devil comes along and goes, oh, look at you. Look at you, Rob. You're the pastor. Look what you just did. Look what you just said. Look how you just acted. Look how you just treated that guy driving the car. Look at you. You think you're nothing. You're a bag of dirt, man. You're nothing. And I go, yeah, I'm just nothing, man. God doesn't want anything to do with me. And I start buying the lie. I had a professor in Bible college that used to talk about things, and he'd say, when the devil comes to you like that, he says, just go tell him, go butt a stump. Go butt a stump. I used to laugh at that guy. He's from Texas. I don't know. It's a Texas thing. If anybody's here from Texas, you can explain that to me. But he can go by the stump. And then this morning, it's so funny, I was talking to Gay, and this little song came to me from when I was a little kid in children's church. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on a tack. You remember that song? Does anybody else know that song? Or is that, if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on a tack. Sit on a tack. Sit on a tack. Oh, if the devil doesn't like it, don't record this, Dave. He can sit on a tack. Sit on a tack to stay. Or all day, right? I don't know. This is the kind of stuff they taught us when we were kids. But it's true. You can look at the devil and say, get behind me, Satan. I know I just messed up, but I'm a child of the King and I belong to God. And His righteousness is my righteousness. And that's why I can ask Him to forgive me. And He restores me instantly. And then I move on. I don't spend 3 days, 4 days, 10 weeks, whatever, wasting my days and my time and being non-productive. I just keep moving forward with God as I confess my life and my sins. Paul even talked about the secret sins, the unknown sins. You and I probably sin every day. God is so holy and pure, we probably sin and don't even feel convicted because we didn't even know we just sin sometimes. But the grace of God is there to cover that. But that's not what Paul's talking about when he says put on the armor, the breastplate of righteousness. He means put on our big boy pants and our big boy skirt, our big girl skirt, and let's start living the life, walking the walk as we talk the talk. Living right, becoming like Jesus in our lifestyle, in our words, how we talk, what comes out of our mouth. Remember about 10, 15 years ago, the bracelet, WWJD? What would Jesus, everybody was into that back in the day. What would Jesus do? Well, we should ask ourselves that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, Paul says this. He's quoting Isaiah and he's quoting Ezekiel, and he says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. That is God's desire for you and me. Separate ourselves. We are in this world, but we are not of this world, right? We live here. We're salt. We're light. We're not living here to become like the unbelievers. We're here so that they can see our life and want to be like us. And so God's word says, come out from among them, separate from the world and the worldliness, and be separate, and don't touch the unclean thing. Separate yourself from that which is unholy and ungodly. And that's a choice we have to make. That's putting on the armor plate, the breastplate. The soldier's breastplate covered the vital organs, including the heart. Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So the breastplate covers the heart. Protect your heart. Protect your heart. Be in prayer. Be in the Word of God. Spend time. Think about Jesus. Walk with Him through the day. Walk with Him through the day. Jesus, I'm going to skip to page 10. So I'm going to skip that next scripture verse, okay, because of time. I'm going to close in just a minute. But Jesus gave us a parable of two builders in Matthew chapter 7. You know the story. Two guys built houses. Then the rains came. One guy's house stood the storms of life. The other guy's house crumbled and perished, right? The torrential rains and the winds beat down. These guys both experienced trials. They both experienced warfare, as we're talking today, but the house that was built on the rock, on Jesus, withstood the storms. The house that was built on the sand collapsed. The difference between the two structures was obedience. Maybe you never heard that before, because look at how the parable begins. I don't have time to go there now, but in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, you can put this verse up. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them is like a house built on the rock. See, we always think about the two houses and the builders. The very first verse says, whoever does them. If you want to have a house that stands, if you want to have a life that stands, if you want to have a breastplate of righteousness that stands and defeats the enemy, then you've got to be doers of the Word of God. You've got to do what it says, and then that works for us. I'll close kind of with this story, and then we'll wind it down. Sometimes Cindy and I watch reruns, and we like to watch Andy Griffith, and we like to watch Gomer Pyle. Don't judge me. Sometimes we do. We just will be eating dinner, and then there's Gomer. Well, I want to tell you a story. I remember one of the episodes on Gomer, and it relates to this. Living righteously, making right choices. When the temptation is there to do God's way or my way or the devil, I choose God's way. Gomer was not the sharpest knife in the drawer. We know that. But his heart was pure, wasn't it? The character Gomer. He was a pure guy. He was an honorable guy. He always thought about other people. One of the episodes, there was a con artist that was cheating people with fake worthless jewelry, and the con artist offered Gomer a ring for $100. Now the ring was only worth about $10 or less, but this con artist told Gomer it was worth $1,000. This is $1,000 ring, and he says, "Gomer, I'll sell it to you for $100 because I've had some hard times and I haven't made any money this last week and I really need to make some money just to get me to the next town. And so $100, Gomer, I'll sell you this $1,000 ring." And he asked Gomer not to tell anybody how cheap that he had sold him the ring, since he never sold jewelry so cheap before. And he's kind of playing on Gomer. And Gomer's response was not what the con artist expected. Gomer said that he really liked the ring, but in good conscience, he could not buy it from him. It just wouldn't be right to take advantage of that man in that situation. So innocent, right? It wasn't Gomer's intelligence that enabled him to escape the con man. It was the integrity of his heart. You see, he was committed to doing the right thing, and so the con man's enticement simply didn't work. And we can just turn that around and say, if we're interested, if we're willing to do the right thing, to honor the Lord, the con man devil who comes against us, his enticements, they won't work. Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them." That's true. So we need to operate in integrity like a soldier's breastplate, and it guards us from the tricks that the enemy will try to play in his warfare against us. It guides the upright and the righteous, and it makes us what we ought to be for the kingdom of God. Let me close with this last verse. And so, musicians, if you'll come on up. Steve, come on up. The Bible says it this way in Isaiah 59, verse 19. I want you to go out of here today knowing that you are a champion, that you're a victor, you're the head and not the tail, as the Bible says, right? We're above and not beneath, the Bible says. How? Because of Jesus. And the Bible says this in Isaiah 59, "When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard or a wall against him." Can I tell you, church, that I'm looking out amongst victors this morning? If you'll walk with God, if you'll take, and we'll start with this next week, we'll put a couple more pieces of armor, we'll make it practical. We need to operate out of truth. We have to know the truth. The truth sets us free. And we have to operate in integrity. We have to ask God every day, "God, I know that I'm human. I know I'm prone to fail. I know I'm prone to sin. I know I'm prone to temptation. But God, today, will you walk with me? Will you keep me close to you? Keep me in step with you. Hold my hand if you need to, God. But let me be the man or the woman that you've called me to be. Let me act as if it were Jesus acting through me." That's the righteousness of God that's working through. And with the truth and walking in righteousness, stepping in righteousness, those are pieces of armor that will keep the devil defeated when he comes against us. God's given us all that we need to live in victory. And my prayer for you and me is that we would walk in victory every day. Let's pray together. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. God, I pray that we have ears that can hear and hearts that are just open enough to receive, and that every one of us would say this morning, God, I want to be a man or a woman that knows the truth of your word. Help us to have a greater hunger, a greater thirsting for the word of God, to get into the word like we never have before, to get to know what's in that Bible like we never have known before, to study it, to read it, to wear it out, God. And help us today to be people that have hearts of integrity, that what we do when nobody's looking, when we're not at church on Sunday morning, is exactly what we do when everybody's looking and when we're at church on Sunday morning. God, make us, help us to be that, because we're frail and we're human and we do mess up. And we're thankful for the grace that covers that. But God, we don't want to just live our lives at the level we are. We want to grow up in you. We want to become fully mature believers, and we want to be able to resist the temptations that the enemy brings against us to sin against you. So God, we put on today the belt of truth. We put on today the breastplate of righteousness. And we ask you to help us to walk this week with those, and we'll come back next week to learn more. Thank you, Lord, that you've already defeated Satan. He is a defeated foe, and he only beats us when we don't walk in the victory you provided. So help us to do that this week. And Father, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Steve's going to lead us in the Lord's Prayer together this morning. Take the hand of somebody next to you and let's sing it as we get ready to dismiss. Let's sing it together.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will. As it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
You go with God this morning.